There is coming a day where no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tear to dim the eye. There'll be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King, yeah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King, yeah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Ain't no dying there. We are going to see the King, yeah. Ain't no dying there. We are going to see the King, yeah. Ain't no dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. What a day that will be. Y'all sing with me. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look, come on, the one that saved me by his grace, then he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Amazing grace, how sweet. Y'all sing, church. Oh, it sounds so good. Oh, wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen.
I know that there are some many good songs that are out today, but I still love the old songs. Grandpa said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But all the great songwriters didn't just live yesterday and are now gone. I believe there's men and women of God today that God grants his wisdom, and what a mighty pen they have when they pen some of the songs that praise and worship God. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John, please. 1 John, and we'll be in chapter 4. This morning, I'll ask you the second most seriously important question that I'll ever ask you as a pastor. The first most important question that I'll ever ask is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's most important. Because if depending upon how you answer the first one, the second one really doesn't matter. But depending on how the first one is answered, it can make all the difference in the world. And so this morning, God has put on my heart, As many of you know, last week I had intended to preach this last week, but it wasn't in God's time. I know that now, but today is. And again, I covet your prayers during the course of this. In this process, I appreciate, first of all, what the Word of God has given us. I also appreciate what the wisdom of wise counselors that I studied God gave me. But this morning, let me ask you this. Number one, do you believe in demons? Well, let me ask you this then. Do you believe that there could be one or many here with us this morning? Many times we act, though, like we don't believe in them. Because if we did, we would be much greater advocates for the Word of God and the protection of our families and our loved ones and for others, especially for lost souls. Because we would realize the importance of the knowledge of a demonic world. The reason why I said perhaps many are here this morning is because I do not know how they're dispersed. I don't care. I'm not their leader, thank God. But I know that they are. I know that Mary Magdalene, the Word of God talks about her faithfulness of being there with Christ and following Christ and doing the things of Christ. But she did not always do that until Christ cast seven devils out of her. Mark 16:9 says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." Might I mention the demoniac of Gadara? And Mark 5:9 says, "And he asked him, 'What is thy name?'" Now this was Jesus talking not to the man, but talking to the demon. And he asked him this, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." I do not know for certain how many were in that one man. One man. But what we do know is when he besought Jesus, the Son of God, not to do anything to him because it was not yet their time, they asked if he would allow them to go into the swine that were close by. Scripture said they entered into 2,000 swine who went into the sea and drowned. I do not know how many may be here today, but I know this. They don't want this message preached. But greater is He. Greater is He that is within me. I know this, that we have to make a distinction. We have to this morning, let me go ahead and say, we have to be able to discern right from wrong, good from evil. The Bible says that we are to try the spirits. There are the good spirits. There are the demonic spirits. However you want to look at it, the Word of God is very clear. There were 2/3 of the heavenly angelic host were good. They're godly. Why? Because they remained. The other third left and followed Lucifer, the ungodly. I want us to understand something this morning, how personal this really is. As a matter of fact, the scripture that I've always appreciated about this is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, which says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, God is telling us, entertain those angels that I have sent you, not the ones that Satan sends you. That's what we have to be prepared for. That's what we have to be careful of. And that's what he's talking about here. That we know the difference between which angelic host that we are dealing with. This morning, now turn there to chapter 4, 1 John, and we'll begin in verse 1. Please stand with me as we do reverence, especially this morning, to God's holy word. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. The word of God, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Do you realize that? The spirit of Antichrist is here. Ye, talking to the child of God, talking to those that have had two birthdays, talking to us, here is what they're saying. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Oh, and I don't want to skip the other verses. Look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Told you, under attack this morning. Remember this, and I preached it when God gave me the beginning of sin to preach it. What Satan did in the garden, lies and deception and confusion and constriction, is what he still uses today. Nothing has changed. That's why and how we can know and try the spirits. Amen? Amen? We've got to understand that. We've got to know that today. Brother Brian, will you take us to the throne of grace, my brother? I just want you to understand why I knew that this was what God wanted today. Week before last, I received a text from one of the most godly saints that I know. And here was what I received. Brother John, may I ask you a question? If I read the book of Revelation, will that make Satan come after me full force? I no sooner get past one storm and another one hits. I have never read Revelation all the way through before. I've skimmed through before, but this time I'm trying to study it. I'll read my response to you at the conclusion of this message. I'm telling you that a senior saint that has studied the Word of God all their saved life understands much of the depths of the Word of God, can feel this, can know this, that her attack was not of God, but of Satan, knowing that it is. But I want you to understand why we don't have to fear. We do not have to fear. When I dealt with sin, it's very difficult to say how and why. We must understand that as bad as it is, it can get a whole lot worse. Brother Steve, you mentioned that the worst is still yet to come, and it is. As to how long God will have us here until he returns, I do not know, but it's not getting any better, I know that. So as I was studying this, Satan's deception was very obvious, but it's nothing new. Starting in the garden, now we find it over in the book of Acts. Paul talks about it in chapter 5. As a matter of fact, we'll see two men, primarily Theudas and also Judas of Galilee. You see, this is nothing new, where you have false Christs, false prophets, false teachers, false preachers, all of these things. It's nothing new. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 5, verses 36 and 37, the Word of God says, "For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing." And I thought about that. Why in the days of taxing? Well, when would there be more people gathered than when they all had to come in, just like Joseph did and Mary? So he says, "In the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed." Now, church, may I say that it has not slowed down, certainly not stopped, but only has intensified the attack of Satan on the child of God. And I know now some of you that are as old as I am, or are younger a bit, are going to remember these names. Some of the younger ones may not. They may not have read about them, because not much is going to be said about these people. Only if they can attack Christianity as an involvement, because that's what these guys claim to be. Does anybody remember David Koresh? Listen to what Mark 13, 21 through 23 says. "And then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'Lo, he is there,' believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Think about how many, 400 alone to Theudas, Judas. Listen, it's not that hard to get people to do wrong, because that's human nature. And even for the saved man, it's very easy for him to slip back to his past. The Bible talks about returning to his vomit. That's what Scripture is dealing with. God wants to protect us from that, but only if we'll allow him to. He says here, "But take heed, take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things." Christians, we ought to be very careful. Don't ever say, "I didn't know." If you do, then you're saying, "I haven't studied it." David Koresh, leader of Branch Davidian. Do you remember down in Waco, Texas? Though he never directly claimed to be Jesus Christ, here is what he did say. He proclaimed that he was the final prophet and the Son of God, the Lamb. And he pronounced this in 1983. David Koresh and 54 followers, adults, and 21 children were found dead after the fire extinguished itself. For those that don't know who he was and what happened, we watched on television back then as the whole encampment went up in flames. Jim Jones, founder of People's Temple, which started off as an offshoot of the Protestant sect. Now here's what he said. He proclaimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus, and then organized a mass murder of over 900 there at Jamestown, Guyana, men, women, boys, and girls, on November 18th, 1978. He shot himself after the murders were done. How many remember Marshall Applewhite of Hale-Bopp? Yeah. Hale-Bopp Comet believed and taught and got so many others to believe that there was an alien spaceship following that comet. And that's what they were preparing for. He was an American who posted a Usenet message declaring, "I, Jesus, Son of God, acknowledged on this date of September 25th, 1995. And yet Applewhite and his Heaven's Gate religious group committed mass suicide on March 26, 1997. Does that not sound like Theudas and Judas of Galilee? Not only did those that they led astray, they died as well as himself. May I say this morning that death follows Satan everywhere he goes. But Brother John, for the child of God, Satan can't have my soul. No, but he can have your heart. There is a battle right now. You say, are there really demons in here? If there is something going on in your mind saying, I've heard this, I don't want to hear this, I guarantee you that's not God, because this is his word, not mine. Not mine. Oh, Lord. There were false teachers. There were false prophets. But Lord, help us. There were false Christs. And guess what? There are going to be more and more today than there were then, as we see right here. It's going to get worse and worse. And we better be ready for it, church. We have got to be ready for it. John is speaking directly to the believer. He's urging us to develop spiritual discernment and to guard against the deception of the Antichrist himself. The Bible's very clear. He is in the world today. He's already here. And John is telling us we need to be ready. And this need for spiritual discernment, John says, begins with the believer's diligence. Child of God, this is for the believer. The lost man, I'll mention in just a moment, even if you told him, he would have no clue. He can't. He can't see it. Dawn, in our text discussion last night, I wasn't going to present this yet. Not only did I get that text week before last from a dear, precious saint of God. Last night, out of the clear blue, I get a text from Dawn, asking me, and I will not even bring any kind of honor or acknowledgement to the name of this false goddess, but asking me what this name was, because she has been meeting and conversing with some Mormons at the laundromat, I believe it was. And let me just go ahead and say it. Listen, if you'll notice on their ads on TV, you know that they'll be glad to send you the book of Jesus Christ, you know, the old King James. I said before when I preached it, that's deception. They told Don personally, we acknowledge the King James. Matter of fact, we use the King James. Yeah. I sent it back and I said, they use it to try to deceive you. And the next thing that she sent me back was, well, they did mention to me that the Bible has a lot of contradictions in it and some errors. And is that not what they told you? I'm so glad you would be able to be here today. Again, God knew that. I didn't. But in this, John says that there's got to be a diligence, believer, about what's going on. Notice verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Our discernment requires not only diligence, but due diligence. And for those that have been in the military, that's a military term. When it says due diligence, that means that there is a battle going on. We've got to be aware of that. We've got to realize the dangers of that. We've got to realize that it can bring, all kinds of things, but even death. For the child of God, it's a spiritual death. You lose your testimony. You lose your witness. Not the soul. But you have all that taken away. You sacrifice that. Why do that? He says we got to have due diligence. Why? Because there is a battle going on. And he challenges the believers not to be gullible. Listen, if you're hearing something that doesn't set well with your spirit, don't sit there and go, No, it's not. That's not my God. That may be your God, but he's not my God. Child of God, we've got to take a stand, especially in these days. And after having done all to stand, Paul says in Ephesians 6, it begins with you taking a stand. Don't have to be offensive, abrasive. Listen, I can say real easily with a smile on my face, oh, I don't know, I can't believe that. My God did this, and my God did that. Had a pastor at a pastor's meeting with some of the city officials of Mesquite, was telling us how there's alien life on other planets. Oh no, you can buy his book if you want to. I'm sitting there. Tony Rory and his son were sitting there. And everybody just quiet as it could be. I couldn't stand it any longer. I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm missing something. I said, if God is God, and he created all this, and Eve is the mother of all living, and Jesus Christ came just here to the world in order to die for me, for all mankind, to pay our sin debt of death, for the wages of sin is death, in order that we might live. Listen to this very carefully. The infinite became finite so the finite could become infinite. Needless to say, he didn't give me a book. We cannot be gullible. We must take a stand. And I tried to do it with a smile. I just did the best that I could. The church, this appeal, this is John's appeal to Christians. Don't be gullible. Why? Because we need to heed this today as well as then. Many of these false prophets will appear sincere. And they can be learned enough, knowledgeable enough, that they may be even persuasive. They must be pretty good at it because of what they've done. Oh, and what they are doing. But John is trying to teach us, don't fall for that. Brother John, how do we discern this? Here it comes simple. Do they believe and trust God's holy word literally? Don? They said that God's holy word was in error, not inerrant. Yeah. The one that fell from heaven and hit Joseph Smith in the head. And when I ask someone, would you like to ask Jesus Christ into your heart? Who? Dawn, I've got to say this too. She sent me a text and she said, I try to share the gospel with them and they act like they don't know what I'm talking about. I wrote her back and you know what I said? They don't. They can't. They're blind. According to the Scripture. And so were you and I until the Holy Spirit of God removed our blindness. John's appeal. Notice also John's approach. Look again in the latter part of verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now that's so very important here, what John just said. Do you hear this? That's why I wouldn't even so much as acknowledge the name of this false goddess that's supposed to be the top level of goddesses. What he's saying here is very clear. We're to take and discern whether they are of God. You don't need to know the demonic chain of command. God's expecting us that if we know Him, if we know His Word, we'll know whether or not they're of Him or not. That's exactly what John is talking about here. And John said, here's the approach. Always approach this person with a biblical perspective. That's exactly what he's saying. In other words, we're to try the spirits to determine any merit based solely on the Word of God. If it's not in accordance with the Word of God, Holy Scripture, they're of the devil. I didn't say that, God did. And He wanted to make sure we understand that. I'm going to tell you what. My wife's sitting back there. If we had children, little children today, I'd want to make real sure who they were friends with. And whose home they're going to go to. And where they stand spiritually. Because I guarantee you, when they walked in that door, if they're not of God, if they don't care anything about God, if they've never even known who God is, they'll know, watch out, who the enemy is, their enemy. Remember this, our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's Satan. It's the devil. And his demons. That is who we're trying to protect our children from. That's what we're to be doing, church. That's what God expects of us. Let me give you another thought. If you've ever heard this phrase, I know what the Bible says, but... Do I need to even tell you that God will never be contrary to His Word? And I can assure you, if that's their position, they don't know God. Have no clue. They do not know my God. They do not know your God. Notice, though, John's aggression. And the last part of that verse 1, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, we need to bear in mind that when John is talking about this, that this is just a few decades after Christ's ascension. And already, John is telling us, well, they're already here and they're out in the world. They're doing their thing. And folks, they are today still. No, they're working harder today than they had to work then. And they're going to be diligent about it. I liked what one wise counselor wrote, and I put it down. Here's what he wrote. The doctrines and religions of our day continue to diversify and grow. Man wants some sort of worship that is consistent with his personal desires. Satan will provide a teacher and doctrine to accommodate man's wishes. We are surrounded by false prophets, many of whom seek to spew their poison under the banner of Christ. They will approach you, child of God, saying, I believe. I believe. As a matter of fact, we believe this, we believe that. Now, they are trying to deceive you under the banner of Christ Himself. False Christ. 2 Peter 2:1. I love when God directs me to this scripture. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. John said that. So He bought you, child of God. He paid your price. You belong to Him, not the wicked evil one. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter's saying, why would you do that? Why would you do that to the one that loved you so much? He paid the price for you. Why? trying to say that the trying of spirits, John says, begins with the believer's diligence. But only, not only the believer's diligence, but the believer's directive. You see, as believers, we have a directive. Sometimes we call it the great command. No, God's given us a directive. And believers, if we don't follow that directive, who will? Is it any wonder that the Bible said, God said, if my people which are called by my name, we're the ones that need to straighten up and be right. That's what God is talking about. That's what John's trying to get across to us right here. And notice this in verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Church, we don't have to live in darkness. Why? Because John's going to deliver the litmus test of truth to us right here. Notice the criteria. In verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Do you know what that's saying right off the top? What is our litmus test? Is what they're saying of, in, and about Christ alone. May I tell you that that's the only way the believer gets to heaven? I believe most of us in here could quote John 14:6. Jesus had no problem saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is very clear about that. The Word of God is very narrow. The directive is the only way that you're going to get to heaven is not by breaking off from planet Kolob and starting your own world, depending upon how many children that you have in order to populate it so that you can become a God of that world as God is of this one. Well, I got news for you. They'll never touch another planet. Belongs to God already. Oh, and by the way, He knows each planet by name. It's one thing to have differences. Some of my awesome friends, pastor friends, are pastors of other denominations. But listen, we're going to have differences. But those differences are not going to make an eternal difference as long as our doctrines line up. And it's not my doctrine, it's not your doctrine, it's God's doctrine. And if they line up, that's why I can have a lot of enjoyable fellowship with them. That's why we can associate. That's why anyone would want to associate with us, is if our doctrine lines up, because it's God's doctrine. Amen? Jesus Christ is the only. Listen, you say, what is that litmus? If they are not willing to profess and declare of their lives that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin, sinless perfection, literally was the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. He is the one who came from heaven to earth in order to die in our place. Physically dead, buried. But on the third day, they better believe that God the Father raised the body, human body, of His only begotten Son, so that He would rise in His eternal glory forever and ever on that third day. And after, and I'm going to tell you this, God gave this thing to make me excited. But after 40 days being witnessed of His resurrected living body, complete with the scars, the nail prints, with all of that, He rose. He rose seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh, this gets better. All my life I've thought about, Brother Perry, about this fact that Jesus went to heaven seated at the right hand. And in my mind, I get this picture, you know, of two thrones and you know, maybe one taller than the other one. No. There is one throne, and I'm telling you what, they're the same height, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There is no difference. And on the left side, if he wants to, the Holy Spirit of God is sitting there, same height. Because he's as much the Father as he is the Son, as he is the Holy Spirit. That's my God. That's what John is talking about. I believe that's what he's talking about. I'll ask him when I get to heaven, but I believe it is. Jesus Christ is the deciding factor and criteria for genuine faith. There's enough of that. Anyway, notice also not only criteria, but the contradiction. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. If one cannot confess, watch this, the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. Father, it is finished. It is finished. If they can't do that, God's word says they are not of God. Period. 2 John 1:7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Criteria, the contradiction of the believer's directive, but notice the confusion. I could pretty well sum this up for you without going into all of it. If there's confusion involved, it's not of God. It is not of God. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Period. If there is, it's not of God. Sadly, the great evil that continues in our day is that in their religion, anything goes. Anything goes. They're brought up to believe that their accountability rests primarily in personal happiness. You want to know why? That there is... Well, why there's so much rejoicing in some congregations. It pleases them. It pleases them. Now, let me tell you when you're not pleased anymore or at times. Ouch, that hurt. You don't have to be saying that. I didn't come here to take and be talked to and scolded. Listen, that's why I use the Word of God, because if you feel that way, I didn't say it, He did. Just saying. Again, may I just mention that it is Christ and Christ alone. Satan's goal is to create unbelief and confusion in your minds, in your hearts, in your daily walk, in what you believe to be true. Oh, listen to me, that's confusing. And if it's confusing, it's not of God. But then lastly, the believer's distinction. Not only the believer's diligence and the believer's directive, but the believer's distinction. Look at verses 4 through 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, did I mention a while ago that you don't have to fear them? You don't have to fear their God? You don't have to fear His power. Now, I do want to say this. Satan was the second most powerful angelic being in existence. Period. Not even Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel could not defeat him in battle without the Word of God. The only one stronger than Lucifer was God Himself. And still is, by the way. May I mention that? Because we're going to see that in verse 4. That's exactly what God is wanting us to see here. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They're going to hear and believe and want what they want because they want it. But they understand the world. They desire the same thing as the world. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, that works for the lost man as it does for the saved. Two saved men cannot walk together except they be agreed. That's how come dark and light doesn't mix. That's why we cannot agree. Because our God is God, not their God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Dawn, is that sounding familiar? Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do you see that, child of God? Because we have the word, we know the difference between the spirit and error, the truth and error. By us knowing the truth, we can know error. We know if something's wrong. That's what we said a while ago. And it's still that truth. Notice what he says about our association. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, in the text that I got that I read to you a while ago, we do not have to live in defeat. We do not have to worry about what the devil can do to us if we're doing what God has directed us to do. Amen? I'm telling you right now, don't leave here today scared. Not necessary. Remember whose you are. Our association, my association not with them. My association is with the Lord. Notice also he speaks about not only our association, but their agenda. Look at verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world doesn't share our desires, nor do they possess the blessed hope that we enjoy. And that's one of the things that makes them so miserable, is because they can't stand us being happy. And the only reason we can be happy is because our blessed hope is Christ Jesus. They can't understand it. They're promoting their own desires and philosophies, seeking their own and others who share their beliefs. But thank God, why do you think that Christians can get along? Now, I know sometimes you get ornery, but Christians get along. Why? Because we believe in the same Father. And we have the same Father, Brother Randy. Randy comes up to me and says, "Hey, my brother, from a different mother, but the same Father. Amen." Let me tell you something that the church will do that the world won't. In the church, when you have one that's hurting, in the church, when you have someone that falls, in the church, when you have someone that's sick, there's going to be another child of God somewhere close by. There is going to be someone that's going to help. But in the world, and all of a sudden their phone goes dead. All of a sudden they're deaf and couldn't hear the knock at the door or the doorbell. The world has nothing for you. And anything that it has that you think's of any value, it's going to burn up one day. Not going to exist. But thank God. Thank God for Him. For the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17:14 says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Listen, we can't be happy and satisfied in the things of the world because we're not of the world. Jesus said, and I love the 17th chapter of John. I wish Brother Tim could be here because he'd be shouting amen and wake a couple of you up. But Because John 17 is so powerful. Jesus says, Father, love them as I have loved you, that they can know the love that we have one for another. He says, they're in the world, but they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world, not in of the world. God help us that we realize that. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's where we are today. That's exactly what's happening. But notice our assurance. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Isn't that wonderful to know that God will hear you when you call out and cry out to Him? Wow. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Church, we can walk out of here today knowing the truth and recognizing the evil and having nothing to do with it. Just turn it over to God. Why? Because greater is He. It's in you and me than he that is in the world. Now let me read you how I responded to this precious saint of God. Satan doesn't want us to read it all the way through, talking about the book of Revelation, from chapters 1 to 22, because it's the first book with promise, and that promise is God's blessing. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I said, you have nothing to fear from Satan. Because of 1 John 4:4. I told you you were going to hear it again. Why? Which says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Since you are a child of God, my sister, you don't have to be afraid of Satan. He must be afraid of you. Why and how, Brother John? James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen, when you stand for Christ, when you do that, and you resist the devil, you know what makes him run? He sees Jesus in you. And he can't handle that. Well, Brother John, how would he know Jesus? How? He knew him before you did. And by the way, he also knows that he is not greater than he is. I'm telling you, you do not have to fear it. And the last thing I said was that means that when you submit to read that book, the old devil will flee from you. He can't handle the truth. As a matter of fact, John 8:44 says he's a liar and the father of it. That he can't even tell the truth. The child of God, you're going to be under attack. It may be because you're trying to read the Word of God. Don't let him win, because he can't defeat you. He cannot defeat you. Do not let him win. Let's stand with our heads bowed and every eye closed, please. Heads bowed and every eye closed. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Listen, isn't it wonderful to know that when these things can happen, these attacks take place, and you stand on the solid rock, you'll be able to look back and rejoice. Rejoice in the victory that God has provided. Folks, Jesus is the source of truth. He's the way of salvation and eternal life. And if there are needs in your life, and we all have them, seek Him. He is able and willing to provide. John 8:31-32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Father, I come to you this morning praising your holy name, thanking you. Dear God, even in this morning, Father, you knew I couldn't even get the words straight. Dear God, I just cried out to you, confessed to you that I need you. And I do, sir. I need thee every hour. Father, especially your hour. Father, when God, I know that it's my responsibility, as Jesus said of Peter, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Dear God, the only thing, and I ask you, the only thing I have to give them is what you have to say. Oh God, I thank you for hearing my cries and answering my prayers. I thank you, dear God, because no doubt, Father, you knew all of this. No doubt there was a reason for today. Father, there, it may have been someone specifically that you had. And Father, as much as you love each and every one of us, I thank you and praise you for that. Father, this I do know, is that no matter what it is, no matter how difficult the battle gets, how intense it gets, Father, that we just stand on your holy word, that we never, ever allow our spirit to be shaken, that it's anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And Father, may we see in our lives, Father, the difference that that makes. But Father, eternally, oh Father, what you're going to do, what you've done. Lord Jesus, when you went to prepare us a place, I can't even imagine, sir. Oh, that we keep our eyes on you, Father. That we ever look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in order to do that, which one day, dear God, we'll be able to lay at your feet and say, thank you, Father. Thank you. Now, Father, I ask first and foremost, if there be anyone here today that doesn't know for sure, but that does not remember, cannot say that they are born again, that they do know you, Lord Jesus, as your personal, as their personal Savior. I pray, Father, for that one or several. Father, only you know for sure. But Father, this is your altar. This is your invitation. And Father, it's just your under-shepherd. Oh, that I proclaim that it's all about you. And we're here to serve you and be a help to them. And Father, for your children, for us, forgive us, oh God, for where we fall, times that we failed you. Oh God, I so thank you for your forgiveness, for your love that fails not. But that we would be more diligent about the directive that you've given us, that John reminded us of today. Now, Father, may your perfect will be done in this, your invitation. And we will give you, sir, all the praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, will you listen to that still small voice that speaks of Jesus and follow him?